If a person didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, and he wanted to start finding out about him, would the best place to start be to go to the bookstore and find some books by men that are written about Jesus? Or is there a better place? A better place, somebody said? All right. We have some books that were designed to tell us the story of Jesus. What are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, so how do you know that that's their theme? They stated, isn't it? You know it, Mark 1:1. You know, Matthew, if you start reading it, Jesus in verse after verse after verse. Luke states his purpose in Luke 1, and John states his purpose at the end of the book. So you've got four documents with the stated intent of telling us the story about Christ, telling us about Jesus, things that we need to know about Jesus Christ. All right. We know we've got these four books in hand, but there's a question. These men that wrote these four documents, the question is, when did they write them? If you wanted to find out something, say, about an ancestor that lived 100 years ago, would it be better to get someone today to write about it and do the best they could, or to have some literature that maybe a cousin or a sister or a brother wrote at the time they lived? And so the question is, how old are these documents? And that's the question we're going to be looking at today. Is there some way that we can know how old these documents are? That's the focus of our study today. Okay, so you got a songbook in front of you. And that book has, what, 700 songs in it or so? 600 or so? How many of those songs in your book are originals? None of them, not a one. So every one of those songs in your book is a copy of the original, not the original. It's interesting when you stop and think about that at the very outset. Nobody picks up that songbook and says, I'm not going to sing these songs. I don't have the original. People have confidence in the fact that these copies are credible representations of the originals. Now, when we talk about original, we're talking about the one that the writer penned. Either sat down and hand wrote, because some of them were so old there were no typewriters, or sat down at a typewriter and typed out the original, the first copy that the author of the song wrote, or the person that put the music to it. So that's what we're talking about, the original document. Okay, we have here on your lesson an axiomatic statement. An axiomatic statement is self-evident. It doesn't have to be proven. It's obvious. It's logically true. Any document is as old as any existing copy of it. Anybody have a question about that? Clearly, if you've got a copy of a document, the original is at least that old. How much older, we don't know, maybe. But at least as old as the copy, because the copy was made from the original. Okay, so we're going to do a little exercise. You've got this songbook on your pew. Maybe you did this at home. So if you look at page one, the title page, your songbook, there's some data there that tells you how old that copy you hold in your hand is. So I have here on the front pew, which one of you guys did I give this song? It's you? All right, tell me how old your copy is.
1987. From Meg.
No. Your copy. How old is that copy right there that you have?
May 1998.
And what does it say about that?
It's the ninth printing.
1998. So, if that's when that particular book, now some of yours may have different. Doug's tried to get us all the same books because we had some that were different printings. But if yours says the ninth printing, it'll have that date on it. So what does that tell you about every song in that book? It's at least that old, right? So it's at least, 22 years old. But now, Chad made mention of something else on that title page. What was that other date you gave, Chad?
1987.
What is that? Copyright date. So, what does that tell you about every song in that book? At least how old is it? 15 years? 20 years? What would it be? 33 years? 33 years old. Now, your copy's not that old. But the copyright date tells you that the songs in that book are at least that old. So if you've got a person that's familiar with old books and they like to study song books and maybe they're writing a history and so they pick up this book and they want to tell you, here's a song book called Hymns for Worship or Hymns of Worship, and they want to tell you how old this book is, here are two indicators already to tell you how old the songs are in the book. There's another one. Who's the editor, Chad?
R.J. Stevens.
R.J. Stevens. When did he die? I've got it written right there. I don't have it written there?
No.
I thought I did. Okay. Oh, that's right. I got it written in my copy. Well, I thought that was my copy. Anyway, he died in 2012. So that tells you there's another indicator of how old the book is. If he's the editor, and I can find out how old the editor is, that tells me how old the originals were. Never seen the originals, never had a copy of the originals. But I can date, and I don't know anything about song books and that kind of thing, very little. But with that simple data, I can date that book. All right. So that answers our first two questions. There's something else about this book. Now, I gave Chad our current book and Damien another book. Hold that book up and show people. Damien, stand up. All right, y'all, I don't know if you can't see where you're at. Y'all see anything? Close it and show it. Close it and show it. Y'all see anything different about that book and the one in your pew? What? It's thinner. The size, is it? It's smaller and it's thinner. Okay? How many songs in that book? Go to the last song in the book. No, the last song in the book. How many songs there?
442.
442. How many songs in your book? Huh? What's the last song number? 702. Look at the difference in the number of songs. So again, if I'm familiar with old song books and the history of churches of Christ, I say, oh, here's a book that only had 400 songs. Here's a book that has 700 songs. That one, y'all already noticed, is thinner. That tells me something about its age just by looking at it and looking at the number of songs in it. I asked these two young men when I gave them these two books to look at something else. You can't see it. They can. What's the difference in the size of the print?
It's smaller.
It's smaller in the little book. They asked me if they made them in the big books, or maybe it was Raylan. And I remember one of y'all asked me, these four young people, did they make them bigger for people, old people, so they could see better? Maybe. I don't know. But the later song books are larger, and the font is larger. So to make the font larger and to get more songs in the book, you got to make the song book bigger. And that's somewhat the indication of age. So I've got these two song books, and if I were just to hand them to anybody here, don't know anything about song books and song book history, it wouldn't take you very long looking at them and say, oh, yeah, I can tell this one's the older book. Okay? And so the one you have, Damien, what's the copyright date?
1959.
So we moved from 1987 to 1959. Who's the editor of it?
Raul Levin.
When did he die?
1989.
So that tells you that book is at least as old as 1989, actually, as far back as the copyright date. Okay, so that's how you can date, by knowing something about the editor or the type of paper. Now, they noticed something. I think it was them, or I think both Raylan and Wyatt and these two young men noticed. What else is different about that book over there and this book over here as far as the pages?
The newer book has wider pages than the older one.
Much wider pages than the old book. The old book, the pages are kind of, the colors kind of changed on them like old books do. That's just another indication. What on your book, Damien, what else indicates that it's older? I showed you. Now open it up. One more page.
The spine?
Yeah. The spine is split. Use, you see? You can see by use, well, this book's been around a while. Okay? Now, I've got two more books out here. One with Raylan and one with Wyatt. Okay, and we'll start with Raylan. What's the name of your songbook?
Christian Hymns.
All right, let me start then with Wyatt. I want to do that one first. What's the name of yours?
Sacred Selection.
Sacred Selection. There's people in this audience that's familiar with Sacred Selections, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's what we used to have. All right, Wyatt, hold that up, hold the new book up, and show the difference in the size. The book we have now. Y'all see the difference in the size? That's that same thing I've been telling you about. Okay, how many books? How many songs in the Sacred Selection?
665.
Huh?
665.
665. So it was getting bigger. How about the font in the two books? The text?
Sacred Selection is
way smaller. Way smaller, okay. Now tell me how old that, at least how old that book is.
1956.
Because of that date. Now who's the editor?
L.S. J. Crum.
And when did he die?
2011.
Here's indicator, indicator, indicator that tells you you don't have the originals. You've never seen the originals. But you know they're that old. And people that study that kind of thing, they're going to find a lot of other indicators. And they're familiar with that. Okay, now Raylan's got a book. Compare your book with the one you just showed everybody. No. That's all right. Do those two. That's the one you got in your pew, and then this one. Look at the difference. Show them how thick. The difference in thickness. Y'all see how much thinner it is? You know how old that book is? That's the book I used when I grew up, or that kind of book. How many songs in it?
452.
The same thing with that book. The color of the pages, the size of the book, the size of the font. Now, what's the publication or copyright date on it?
1948.
Man, I was just a boy, a little boy, 1948. So, and then there's other things about the book that would help date it. Who's the editor?
L.O. Anderson.
And what's, when did he die?
1992.
So you can take this, these documents, look at them if you know what you're doing, and say, oh, here's an indicator of age, here's an indicator. But all of these, they're not originals. What are they? Copies. Copies. But by having the copies, it affirms the existence of originals at one time. Don't know if they're in existence now. And some of them are probably not, which we'll point out in just a moment. But you have all these copies. And it helps you to date, begin to date how these copies, how the original is at least. Okay, now take your songbook, all of you have. Turn to page 16. Turn to page 16. All right, Riker, you on page 16? Turn to page 16, Riker. Tell me who wrote that song. If you don't know, Tisa can help you. Martin Luther, very good. And Martin Luther lived back about 1920, didn't he? What is that date on there? 1529. Is that book that old? No. What's it telling you? That if the author is Martin Luther and he wrote it in 1529, how old is the original? See, it's over 500 years old, isn't it? Or right close to it, not quite. But you have not the original. I don't know if the original copy of A Mighty Fortress by Martin Luther even exists. If it doesn't exist, should we not sing it? We don't have any idea if it's even close. No. You've got these copies, and who told how many others? Copies. But you hold in your hand a document, it's not 500 years old. It's just a few years old. But you can be certain about the age of that song because of the author and when he lived. And all through your songs, you have authors. Sometimes you have dates as to when these songs were composed. And that helps date the originals. Okay. So, when we talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so you're reading your Bible, maybe at work or at school or at college. What are you reading? I'm reading the New Testament. I'm reading about Jesus, the story of Jesus. Look, how do you know it's accurate? You don't have any of the originals. Are there any originals around? No, they're not. There's really not. Well, how do you know what you're reading is accurate? People will be asked that very thing. That challenge will be made. Well, you're reading is a copy. But that copy is based on other copies. Copies that are very old. And on your lesson, we document some of those. So look on your lesson. A manuscript. Now in your next lesson, we ask you to actually look up this word. And we encourage parents to do this with their children. And look at the etymology. Etymology is the origin of the word. It comes from Latin. Look that word up and see what the two parts of it means. And you'll see when you look that up, and it'll just kind of register it in your mind if you do this, that manuscripts are handwritten copies. Now, later on, they came to refer to the first typewritten copy. But the basic word, if you look up that word origin, like I'm telling you in the next lesson, you'll see that was the original idea. A handwritten copy. And that's what manuscripts are. Now, in the next lesson, the Lord is willing, I've actually included some copies of some manuscripts. And what I encourage parents to do as you study that lesson, get the computer out, get the laptop out or whatever, get your device out, tablet or whatever. Go to the web and look for manuscripts, Bible manuscripts. There's a lot of places you can go that will actually show you copies of manuscripts that are in museums throughout the world or in repositories where people are collecting those manuscripts and protecting them and studying them. You know what they're studying about? Color of the paper, the type of the font, the kind of ink that was used, whether they're capitals or they're small letters, whether they're printed out or whether they're cursive. All kind of indicators. The condition of the paper. What kind of paper is it? Is it papyrus or something else? Is it leather? All of that is being looked at. The very thing we just went through with these books. But on a far deeper scale. And you know why they're doing that? To date the manuscript. And so they can say, well, this kind of handwriting was used, say, 300 A.D. Oh, here's some other kind of handwriting that came into use, say, in 600 A.D. or 400 A.D. And they've got other documents to compare that with. Here's this kind of paper it was used, or leather, whatever it is. Oh, well, here's when those kind of writing instruments were used, the kind of ink that was used. And so those who are scholars who study that kind of thing can give a good date on these manuscripts. Not that they're Bible believers. Some of them are. Some of them may not be. Some of the greatest Bible manuscript scholars were really not what you would call Christians, but they're scholars in this kind of work. And by the grace of God, God used them and we're indebted to them so that we can know how old our copies are. Now, the manuscripts, I've got some here on your lesson. The Alexandrian manuscript, it's in existence. It's in the British Museum. So if you want to take a vacation, you can go there and see it. It's in the museum. It's existent. How old is it? 375 to 425. Not that you're going to open it up like that copyright thing on that book and see it. But by the font, the paper, the ink, all of that, they can date that manuscript as well as other factors they look at. So if there is a manuscript, and you notice on this Alexandrian manuscript, well, you don't have these notes I have on myself, on my own notes. It has the New Testament, Matthew up to chapter 25, verse 6, two leaves from John, including chapter 6, 50 through 8, 52, three leaves from 2 Corinthians, etc. Now, if it has those parts of your New Testament, what does that tell you? Let's just take one of these. For example, this part of Matthew that it's got. What does that tell you about the book we call Matthew? How old is it? At least. 375 to 425. That's right. So at least 1,700 years old? Is that right? Something like that. So here you have this book. Your Bible may say printed in 1998 or 2015 or whatever. But the copy, that's a copy of a document that is at least that old. At least. And you don't have to question about it. It's not a matter of I think it is or I feel it is or somebody told me it is. We talked last class about the difference in subjective evidence and objective evidence. So if I say I just feel like Matthew's that old, what kind of evidence is that? Subjective. Is it wrong? Not necessarily. But it doesn't prove it to be true. But now if I've got a document outside of me, doesn't depend on my feelings, your feelings, counting noses, that's that old. I know that document is at least that old. Well, that's the Alexandrian manuscript. There's the Sinaitic manuscript that dates about 300-350. It's in the Vatican Library at Rome. There's the Bodmer Papyrus. Look at the date on that on your lesson. I have the date, don't I? About 200 A.D. Contains most of John chapters 1 through 14. Think about that. So here is a book you hold in your hand called the Gospel of John. Never met him. What's interesting, John said, now I wrote this so you can read it and decide whether or not this story is true about this guy named Jesus. When did you write this, John? I know. I don't have to doubt it that he wrote it at least 1,800 years ago. That's getting back close to the time Jesus actually lived. I know that because I have a copy. I don't. It's in the museum, Vatican Library, but it's there. And when you go show your young people these manuscripts, or for yourself, you might find that interesting. You can pull up pictures of these images of these particular manuscripts. But wait, there's the Chester Beatty papyri. Now, they call it papyri, the kind of stuff it was written on. 11 papyrus codices. One contains the four Gospels and Acts and dates first half of the second century, or about 150 A.D. Now, when did Christ die? Approximately? 33. Here's a document just a little over 100 years later. When did the New Testament close? Approximately. 65 to 90 A.D. Here's a document within 50 to 60 years of that. You don't have to think about it, wonder about it. It's there. It tells you that these documents you hold in your hand, how old they are. That's what these copies do. That one's in Manchester, England, so you're going to have a lot of time for a lot of vacationing to go to all these places. But they're there. Okay, and then we have versions that date from about 130 A.D. Now, when I say 130, it doesn't mean that the copies of the versions are that old. But what the way they calculate, they say, okay, if this book was so much in demand that other versions were made, the original has to predate it by a certain number of years. And as they figure on those kinds of calculations, and they've got a lot more data than I do, that's what they come up with, that the versions date to the early part of the second century. This book was so in demand, this story of Jesus, for example, that people with other languages, they said, we want a copy in our language. And so versions were made. Okay? And so I've got one here. You see the John Rylands manuscript. I skipped that one, didn't I? Let me talk about that John Rylands manuscript. It dates back to 130. We're really getting back there, aren't we? 130 A.D. And then we've got these versions. All right, now, in these three languages, Syriac, Egyptian, and Latin. So, that alone, just if that's all we had, the manuscripts, the copied, somebody sat down with something, copied it, letter by letter, line by line, word by word, and they're there. But that's not all. I asked you on these songbooks, these four young people that are about the songbooks, about the editor. I asked Riker about the author of that song, A Mighty Fortress. So knowing the editors of these books, the author of that song, that helps you date those documents. So we started over here with the editors, in these four books. That took us back to, what was it, 19-something. But now when we got the author of the Psalm, we got back all the way to 1529. Now, you got these four documents we call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, back, you're very blessed people. We all are. Here's my Bible. It's all together. It's bound. Nice binding. Holds together. I can turn the pages. It's divided into verses, chapters. They didn't have that. So let's read the Bible. Okay, get the scroll out. Scroll? Yeah, it's in a roll. Well, turn to chapter. There are no chapters. Turn to verse. There are no verses. So if you're going to study the Bible, since there's no chapters and no verses and it's not in a nice binding and you don't want to always be having to unroll that scroll and find it, what's going to help you become more adept at writing about what's in it? Make it quicker and easier for you. What will you be doing?
Quoting.
Memory work. Try quoting. And so what we have, and that's what I have here on your lesson, there we have quotations from men who lived in the first through the fourth century. Now look what I put on your lesson. So we have Martin Luther over there in that one song. But for your four gospels in the first four centuries, over 19,000 quotations. It's been said that you could destroy every manuscript, every Bible that's been printed and recreated from the quotation. So, if Martin Luther's name's attached to that song, you know how old it is. If there would have been a guy 100 years later that referred to Martin Luther's song, they'd tell you how old it is. When these guy editors put it in their book and put some other notations, you know it's that old. And that's what you have. You have these fellows who quoted from these books. And I've got some of these fellows that lived. Let me just mention some of them. And you can go look this up if you want to. Justin Martyr quotes from the Gospels. There's 268 quotes. Justin Martyr died, not born, in about 165 A.D. What does that tell you about the four Gospels? You say, well, our oldest little piece of manuscript is about 125. But wait, here's a guy who died in 165. Got 268 quotes. Irenaeus, who died in 202 A.D., got 1,038 quotes. Another fellow named Clement of Alexandria died 215, 1,017. The fellow named Origen, he was a prolific writer, engaged in debates and so forth. He died in 254 A.D., there are 9,231 quotes. 9,000. There's Tertullian, who died 220, 3,822. Another guy, Hippolytus, that's not correct. I've written down the pronunciation one time. But anyway, Hippolytus. How do you pronounce that, somebody? Nobody's venturing a guess. Anyway, you can name your next child that. And he died in 235, 734. Eusebius died in 339, 3,258. So 19,368. Let me ask you something. If whoever studies this stuff can tell you, not that's just a bunch of quotes, but can tell you there were 19,368 quotes. What does that tell you about their research? Pretty intense, wasn't it? It's not just guesswork. Somebody went through those fellows' writing And as far as I know, it's not challenged. So, again, this is just another source to confirm the age of these four documents, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four men, these four authors, helps establish that they are the author, and when they lived, there's a fellow by the name of Papias. He lived about 80 to 155 A.D. So he lived in the first century. And he attributes Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, to Matthew. Irenaeus, who lived a little bit later, 140 to 203, attributed to him. Origen, who lived 185. So here's three men within the first couple centuries that attribute that first book that we call Matthew to the man named Matthew, which establishes there was a guy at about when he lived. Not by one guy, but other writers. Not all living at the same time and place, neighbors to one another, but confirming the age of the author of that book. What about Mark? Papias again, Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, and Origen. I added Clement of Alexandria. He's another one. Luke was established by Irenaeus and these other guys, as well as another fragment called the Moratorian fragment. Dates about 170. And then the Gospel of John by Theophilus of Antioch, Irenaeus, Clement, etc. So anyway, you can do the research on this. What I wanted to show you is there's abundant objective evidence that you hold in your hand when you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four documents that date to the first century. Isn't that amazing? That old. Written by these four men who lived back then, called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four books tell you the story of Jesus. You don't have to go buy a little paper back. You don't have to depend on what a preacher says. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to zap your heart. You got it right there in those four little books. They tell you the story of Jesus. You want to know about Jesus? Read from the guys who wrote about him in the first century. Get it fresh from their hands. That's what you have in those four documents. Now, what we're going to start doing in a couple classes, we're going to put you in the jury box. How many of you have ever been on a jury? Okay. So, these young people have never been on a jury. This would be something good for your parents to talk to your children about, the responsibility of a juror. He's got to make a decision. Here's a guy on trial. And it's up to you, the jury, to decide his guilt or innocence. That's your job. On what basis are you going to decide it? Evidence. Is it just that you look at him and say, I don't like the way he looks. I think that guy's guilty as can be. I just feel it in my heart. Is that it? Or you look at the color of his skin or the length of his hair. I don't like people with that color skin or that length hair, so he's guilty. Is that the way you decide it? No. Evidence. Objective evidence. So, we're going to put you in the jury box. And we're going to introduce evidence A, evidence B, evidence C, and evidence D. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The opposing lawyer might say, you can't introduce that. Why not? Well, you don't know how old those are. Yeah, I can show how old they are. Well, you don't know if those are accurate copies. We'll deal with that next lesson. Yes, I can show that too. You don't know who wrote that. Yeah, I can show who wrote them. Court will not keep them out. They have to be admitted as evidence. I don't believe those are the Word of God. I'm not introducing them as the Word of God. I'm introducing them as four historical documents that date to the first century. And that's what you have as the evidence for your faith. Now look at Matthew chapter 24. There's some indication within the book themselves as to how old they were. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. They're in Jerusalem. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. He answered and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another which will not be torn down." Here's this magnificent building that Herod built, the temple in Jerusalem. Great, beautiful structure. He said, "I'm going to tell you, it's going to be completely destroyed." So at the time that Matthew's writing about Jesus, he pictures Jesus living at and talking about the temple being in good shape. But look at verse 34. "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things take place." A generation to them was about 40 years. Jesus lived when? About 30. When was Jerusalem destroyed? 70 A.D. What this tells you is when Matthew wrote this document and recorded this stuff about Jesus, it was before the destruction of Jerusalem. It's not Jesus going looking at the temple and saying, "Look at there, this was a beautiful building one time." No, it's a beautiful building right now, but here's what's going to happen. And so that's the way Matthew pictures that. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. So if that's the case, Matthew, while these copies we've been talking about date to the latter part of the first century, maybe into the second century, the internal evidence points to a book that was written early on, maybe within 15 to 30, 40 years of Christ's death and resurrection. Early on. Well, over in Acts 1:1, Luke writes, "The first account I composed." What's the first account? The Gospel of Luke. Now, there are evidences in the book of Acts, the political figures, etc., the things that are stated, that you can date it. And the book of Acts ended about 62 or 63 A.D. when he quit writing it. So, if Luke, the Gospel, predates the book of Acts, how old is Luke? Before 62, 63 A.D. You know that Paul, it seems, made reference to Luke's writings. So here's a fella, a physician, that Theophilus, I want you to know the exact truth, and he wrote this letter, not 100 years later, before 62, 63 A.D. Investigated carefully. He was lived at a time when the people lived and things could have been investigated. Now, you can do what you want to with it, but that's the evidence in your hands. And it dates back to that time. But are these documents reliable? Are they accurate? Is my copy a good copy? Can I depend on having in my hand what Matthew actually wrote, or Mark, or Luke, or John? That's what we're going to talk about, the Lord willing, in the next class. And I've asked some members of the class to help me out. And we'll talk about that in our next class. And they did their homework, and I've got it, and we're going to talk about it next class. They'll help demonstrate an answer to that question of how can we have confidence in the accuracy of our copies. You hear people say, "Well, they misspell words." And people say, "I've heard there's hundreds and hundreds of errors in the copies, a misspell word, etc." There are all those kind of things. Can you recreate the original? That's the question. We'll talk about that, the Lord willing, Sunday in our class. Hope you can be back for that.